In the past weeks, we have been moving through the Lord's Prayer. We come this morning to what is commonly known as the fourth petition, the fourth request in the Lord's Prayer. And that is, give us this day our daily bread. Our New Testament passage that we will be reading is Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. So if you would put your bulletin or your bulletin insert in your Bibles there in Matthew chapter 6, our Old Testament complementary passage is Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 through 26. So if you would open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 23, in honor of God's Word, please stand. Exodus chapter 23, beginning in verse 20, hear God's word. Behold, I send an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. When my angel goes before you and brings you to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I blot them out, you shall not bow down to their gods nor serve them nor do as they do, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars in pieces. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from you. None shall miscarry or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. Thus far in the reading of God's word, please turn to Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5 and continuing in the reading of God's word. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Thus far in the reading of God's word, let us pray. Father, as we come to the preaching and the conscionable hearing of your word, we pray that you would speak by your word and spirit to hearts that are open to receive. Strengthen us by this means of grace. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. Two thousand years ago, a homeless man, with all that that implies, a homeless man, was asked by a number of other homeless men, how do we pray? And this homeless man gives, in the Lord's Prayer, this particular petition, give us this day our daily bread. That's the context of Matthew chapter 6, and particularly the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Now, if you will look up the statistics, you will discover, you may already know this, that Loudoun County, where Sterling Presbyterian is located and where many of us live, is the highest median household income county in America. The number two county is Howard County, where our sister congregation, Columbia Presbyterian, is found. The number three county is Fairfax County, where I and some of us others live. So whether you live in Loudoun County or whether you live in Fairfax County, you live in the top two, in two of the top three of the wealthiest counties of the wealthiest nation in the history of the world. How can you and I possibly relate to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer? Really? How many of you can, with that sense of fear, that sense of standing on the edge of a cliff, say, if I do not receive my bread for today, I'm a dead man. I'm a dead woman. I want you to recognize the vast gulf. Now, when you think of poverty, you might think of starving children in China. They were the ones my mother always told me, eat your peas because there are children starving in China. I repeatedly offered to box them up and ship them to them. If they really wanted them that badly, they could have them. But when we think of starvation, when we think of deprivation, we think of people that are sort of out there. Beloved, consider for a moment that in all likelihood today, the Lord's Day, given the way the planet rotates, someone this day has already prayed, give me this day our daily bread. And if they thought of you and me today praying that same prayer, they would laugh. Seriously? The wealthiest household, median household income county in the wealthiest nation in the history of humanity. And you and I are supposed to connect with this? This is supposed to be meaningful to you? Our brothers and sisters around the planet today would say you and I are incapable of understanding and truly grasping this petition. Our brothers and sisters throughout history would say that you and I are incapable of grasping this petition and truly understanding it. I want to make clear that gulf between you and me this morning and a homeless man with homeless disciples 2,000 years ago and the varying level of the physical outward need. So that we can drill through the surface appearance and get to what we are praying when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. As we get to the heart of what this petition is, I want to ask you this question. What are most, for you who are married couples, what are most of your fights over? I mean, we can talk about the toothpaste tube and whether it ought to be squeezed from the middle or rolled up. But really, what is it that you just get wrapped around anger over? Is it not money? Is it not the stress of resources? What is it as a single person that keeps you awake at night? What is it that causes you those sleepless nights? or for you children? How often do you find yourself wishing that you had that thing, that toy, that freedom, that trust or responsibility that some other child has? What makes you feel awkward? What makes you feel intimidated and defensive by your peers, your friends, whether they be at church or at school or wherever they are? Those friends that you feel intimidated by. What are those things? What are those things in your mind that cause your fights? What are those things in your mind that cause your inner turmoil? What are those things in your mind that you struggle with? This conflict over finances, this conflict over station in life, this conflict over who we are, what parents we have, what children we have, what other children have, this conflict, beloved, is a war within ourselves. It's a war between ourselves and other people. And it is the very first battleground that we come to in the Lord's Prayer. Because it is a war in conflict with God's providence. It is a war that you and I fight continually between who we are and what we have. And who God is and what He has said should be ours. And that becomes the source of so much of our inner turmoil and our interpersonal turmoil. I have often said, and people may have heard me say it before, so I'd like to publicly recant. I've often said that I think the most difficult petition in the Lord's Prayer is the fifth. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As I've worked through this passage, as I've worked through this fourth petition, I have personally been very convicted. I think this one may even be harder than the other one. Or at least the two are equally impossible. For me to truly, thankfully receive God's portion for me this day, whatever that portion may be, for me to truly, thankfully receive it, it's impossible. It's a frightening petition to pray. I don't even desire to pray this petition, much less live it out. And yet, this is the model that Christ gives to us to pray. Now, as we consider the ways in which we struggle against God's providence and the ways in which we are unthankful to God for His providence, let me give you an illustration. One of my favorite Christmas movies is The Christmas Story. It's the story of young Ralph and the Christmas that he goes through when he's 12 or 13 years old. And if you know that movie, you know the one and only thing that Ralph wants, the thing he is obsessed about. He writes an essay for his teacher on why he just really needs the Red Ryder bolt-action BB gun with a compass in the stock. That is the present he needs. And he is obsessed with his desire for the Red Ryder BB gun bolt-action with a compass in the stock. And on Christmas morning, they're opening up the presents. And young Ralphie gets pink-footed pajamas with rabbit ear things on the hood. And you just see his face as he opens up this package. And you just see, and of course he's narrating it from the standpoint of an adult. And that's part of what's so funny about the movie is the adult voice giving Ralph's thing, thoughts as he goes through the movie. But, you know, horror of horrors. This is the furthest thing from the Red Ryder BB gun. And of course, his mother thinks it's so cute, and she demands that he goes and puts it on. And he comes down the stairs, and he's this pathetic, sad-looking boy in this embarrassing, humiliating costume. And this is the present that he engages in on Christmas morning. And the despair and discouragement and dissatisfaction is written all over his face. And we know the story. If you know the movie, if you like the movie, then you know that scene, and you know it's funny. It's a funny scene because all of us can relate to it in some way or another. Which one of us have not gotten that hand-knitted, scratchy sweater when we really wanted the Xbox game? Or the socks when we really wanted the new bicycle? Or whatever. But now let's turn that on its head. As much as we laugh and relate to Ralph, receiving this horrible gift. Beloved, how do you feel when you are the giver? How do you feel when you are the one who gives a gift and that person opens it and has the look on his face that Ralph did? How do you feel when you watch someone open your gift that you said, this is right for you. This is exactly what I want for you. I poured my love into it, and I'm giving it to you with a handful of love, and they open it up, and they go, oh, no! Beloved, do you see that you and I, when we rebel against God's providence, when we are dissatisfied with his love and care and provision in our lives, are the very ones who say to God, really? Pink rabbit pajamas? This is not what I wanted at all. And so this petition, give us this day our daily bread. Beloved, see that it is both a request, it's also a promise. It's a request that God provide for us, as our shorter catechism says, question 104, that God provides of his free gift that we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and his blessings with them. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are praying that God provide for us out of his free grace that competent portion of the blessings of this, of the goods of this life, and that we may receive his blessings with them. But we also are making a promise. We are making a promise to be thankful for it. And that's where this petition becomes a little frightening, becomes just a little intimidating. Because, beloved, in all honesty, does God's providence live up to your expectations? Is your husband exactly the man that he ought to be? Is your wife exactly the person that she ought to be? Are your parents doing exactly, 100% exactly what you believe they ought to be doing? Are your children knocking it out of the ballpark, hitting 10 out of 10, walking perfectly? Is your job exactly the job that you've desired? Is your income exactly the income that you believe is right? Is your church family exactly the church that you believe it ought to be? Now, of course, we're not saying that we don't strive and grow. Of course we do. We are all imperfect and our situations are imperfect and sanctification is the process of us growing. But beloved, dissatisfaction, that snarkiness, that bitterness, that pointing out all of the things in that other person, all of the things in your circumstances, all of the things around you that don't live up to your expectations, stand completely opposed to this request. Give me this day that portion that is good for me, and I will respond in thankfulness. This petition is a frightening one to pray. It's an intimidating one to pray, because we are placing ourselves in a place that in all honesty, in all truth, you and I rarely find ourselves. So the question becomes, if we see that this petition is both a request and a promise, how do we get there? How do we get to that place where we can look at the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Look at this fourth petition. Recognize what it is that we're praying for, and truly seek to receive it from God with thankfulness. How do we get there? Two answers. The first is this. Notice where this petition lies in the prayer, in that model prayer. By the time you've reached the place of praying for your daily bread, you have already rejoiced and dwelt in the fact that God is your Father in heaven. You have already prayed that His name be hallowed, be made holy in you and through you. You have already prayed that His kingdom of grace will come, and that you will be a faithful citizen within His kingdom of grace, and that that kingdom of grace will be extended through you into the world around you. Do you want to know how to stop being a snarky, bitter, unhappy, pathetic recipient of God's good gifts? Look at God. Look at God. Dwell in the fact that He's your Father in heaven. Desire that His name be holy and made holy by you. Desire His kingdom of grace in your heart and in the world around you. Be absorbed in God and His goodness, His perfections. And these things that we desire will fall into their proper place. The first step in fixing it is to turn your gaze away from it and turn to the one who is beauty. John Calvin, in commenting on these first three petitions as a whole, is basically making this point. He says, in making these requests, these first three petitions, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In making these first three petitions, we are to keep God's glory before our eyes. Even though we receive ample advantages from prayer, we must not seek it there. Now get a hold of that, because it'll turn your prayer life upside down. This is anti-health and wealth gospel. This is anti-name it and claim it. Do you hear what Calvin's saying? You are not to seek your advantages from prayer. In other words, God isn't to be approached so that He can do something for you. He is not the great candy machine in the sky. That is not the purpose of prayer. Do you receive great benefits from God in prayer? Absolutely. But you receive, beloved, great benefits from God in prayer when you are wrapped up in God. when you are wrapped up in His glory, His beauty, His goodness. And so that's the first answer of how do we get from here to there? How do we get from being the ugly, unthankful recipients of His goodness to being able to say, I have known both poverty and riches. I have known both hunger and fullness. And I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. How do you move from there to there? You focus on the first three petitions. You focus on God, on His goodness, on His love, on His holiness, on His kingdom of grace, on His will being done. Give us this day our daily bread as a promise not only to receive what He will for us, but also, terrifyingly, to be thankful for it. Thanksgiving is something that is very much an intentional response. You and I set ourselves, purpose ourselves to be thankful. As a spontaneous emotion, Thanksgiving comes fairly rarely in my life. Thanksgiving comes more naturally when I'm considering God, when I'm considering my own unworthiness, when you and I are recognizing that we don't deserve anything above His wrath and judgment, and yet receive so many good things from Him. And we respond with thanksgiving. Beloved, the problem of this petition, give us this day our daily bread, is that it comes from hearts that are full of discontent. It comes from discontented people. And what is the answer to discontent? What do you do when your church doesn't live up to your expectations? You move and join a new church, right? That's the right thing to do. What do? When your town doesn't live up to your expectations? You go to a different city. You move. My life stinks here. I'm going to up and move. I'm going to go there. Surely it's going to be better there. What do when you're discontented with your spouse? You dump them and find a new one, right? What do when you're discontented? How do you fix it? The problem of discontentment can never be addressed by a change in circumstances. It can only be addressed by a change in heart. If you're discontented with your daily bread, the problem is not enough daily bread. The problem is a heart that is discontented with that daily portion. And so the call to you this morning is to purpose to be thankful for that portion that God gives you in your marriage or lack thereof, in your children or lack thereof, in your parents or lack thereof, your job or lack thereof, your income or insufficiency thereof, in all of these things God has given to you and to me, the daily portion. And whether we are a bunch of discontented disciples living 2,000 years ago, and the Son of Man who said the foxes have their holes, the birds have their nest, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head, He also commented on this section. He commented on this petition. He comments on it in verses 25 through 34 of this same chapter. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will not he much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Do you see how Jesus Christ is opening up a commentary on precisely what he just said that you and I should pray for? He opens it up. Today, there's a bunch of little sparrows that are out there flying around. They're probably huddled up close under an eave somewhere. 3-4 days from now, will you and I walk into our backyard and find it littered with dead sparrows? No. How does God take a tiny little bird? The coldest winter that Washington, D.C. has experienced in over 100 years is what the newspapers tell me. How does God take a tiny little bird that lives outside all the time? A few of them have made it into my chimney, but not many. Most of them are outside all the time. And keep that little bird. I saw one on my deck the other day. And I noticed that little bird that probably is that big, with his feathers fluffed up, looked about that big. And I noticed that God had given to this little bird a down comforter that was probably thicker than the one that I sleep under at night. He'd fluffed his feathers up so much that this little bird not only was able to survive, but this morning I heard him chirping as I got ready to come to church. How much does God care for those little birds? And beloved, how much more does God love you, his children, the ones made in his image? So how much more will he care for you? And so your and my response is to be one of trust and one of thanksgiving. Thomas Watson, commenting on this section of the Lord's Prayer, and commenting upon this aspect of praise that we are committing ourselves to in God's provision. Thomas Watson says this: in petition, we act like men. In praise, we act like angels. Does God sow seeds of mercy? Let thanksgiving be the crop which we bring forth. We are called the temples of God. And where should God's praises be sounded forth but in his temple? Beloved, do you see the call to praise and thanksgiving in the midst of every circumstance that God gives to you? So how do we get there? We fumble out this prayer over and over and over again. We don't pray the Lord's Prayer once, check it off our box, we're done, we're good to go. But today, receive God's mercy with thanksgiving. Trust in his providence for you today, in his loving care. And tomorrow, guess what? You're going to have to do it all over again. And the day after, surprise, you're going to struggle again. But as God continues to work in your life, conforming you unto the image of His Son, as you continue to fumblingly, haltingly pour out this prayer, Father, give me today what is good for me, and I will be thankful for it. And beloved, God will do a work in you, not changing your circumstances, but changing your very heart. He does love you. If you are His child, you are under His care. You are in His love. And He who loves the sparrows, who clothes the lily of the field, He who cares for these things around us, cares so much so for you that He gave you His Son, that you might be His Son, that He might look upon you and see Christ, that you might find your life hidden with Him. And so again and again we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Let us pray. Father, we do thank You for Your care, Your mercy, Your love. Even when they are things, even when we receive things that we think are not good, things that we don't desire. Forgive us, Father, and help us again and again to purpose to receive from Your hand our daily bread, and to respond to You with thanksgiving. Father, truly, as Your eye is on the sparrow, those little sparrows that are flying around or huddled in the cold right now, Your eye is upon them. How much more You care for us. Remind us anew of that love, that we may respond in trust and thanksgiving. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.